In the book of Psalm, chapter 33, verses 10 through 12 for this morning, I want to speak on God Bless America. In Psalm, chapter 33, verses 10 through 12, the psalmist said, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." Back in 1998, Tom Brokaw wrote a book called The Greatest Generation. Those were the people that were born from 1900 to around 1925. They were considered the greatest generation because they went through the many things that they endured during those dark days of the Depression. They would be the ones that would be the leaders in World War II and helping to win that battle so that you and I might have the freedoms that we possess today. That group of people became those who were freedom fighters so that you and I might stand here this morning and have the freedom that we possess. According to the United States Department of Veteran Affairs, as of the year 2016, there were 620,000 out of 16 million who fought in World War II and were considered the greatest generation. 372 of them die every single day. When you think about that, from the year 2016, in fact, I think now in 2019, it's down to about 476,000, somewhere thereabouts, of that generation that's still left. When 372 of them die every single day. Lest you and I forget that Memorial Day weekend, it's a special day to honor our veterans who are with us, those fallen heroes who gave the ultimate sacrifice for freedom. You see, to that generation, to the greatest generation, and maybe even to the boomer generation to some degree, but that older generation, especially Memorial Day, means so very much to that generation. The younger generations of our day, they don't seem to care so much about honoring this day. But whenever you think about the first Memorial Day was not called Memorial Day. It is believed to have been celebrated when a parade of freed slaves and Union soldiers marched through Charleston, South Carolina, in the year of 1865. There at Waterloo, New York, was considered to be the official birthplace of Memorial Day because after it was observed there on May the 5th, 1866, General John Murray and General John A. Logan called on all communities to honor the war dead every year. Logan had been impressed with how the South had honored the fallen Confederate soldiers for years. And in 1868, Logan, the head of the prominent veterans group, the Grand Army of the Republic, he issued a proclamation that Decoration Day be observed nationwide. And the date that was chosen was May the 30th, specifically because it was not on the anniversary of a battle. Still, many southern communities did not want to honor Decoration Day because of the lingering resentments from the Civil War. Some ladies from Columbus, Mississippi in 1866 went to Friendship Cemetery on the outskirts of the city, the battleground for Shiloh. Those that had died, and they lay flowers on both the Union as well as the Confederate graves. Greeley's New York Tribune printed a story of this unprejudiced act that these women did that day that led to widespread interest in impartial offering memories to those who had died. It was seen as a healing touch for the nation. The alternate name was Memorial Day, and it wasn't commonly used until World War II. Federal law recognized the holiday as Memorial Day in 1967. When you think about America, when you think about the land of the free and the home of the brave, I always think about Kate Smith, who had a radio program, and she introduced a new song to Americans called God Bless America. That song electrified the nation. It's become one of the most patriotic of all of the patriotic songs. God Bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, our home, sweet home. When you think about how America was founded, it was a remarkable thing. Throughout history, there have been many who have attempted to create civilizations. For example, if you go back in ancient history, Pericles, he founded a civilization based upon culture, but that civilization fell. Alexander the Great, he founded a civilization based upon military prowess and genius. That fell as well. Caesar founded a civilization upon power, and that civilization fell. But you see, when I think about America this morning, some 223 years after its founding, I think about what Roger Babson said. He said, South America was founded by men who were seeking gold, but North America was founded by men who were seeking God. He went on and said, the sturdy men who crossed the ocean to come to our land, they came not seeking soil for their plows, but liberty for their souls. When those pilgrim forefathers of ours came to Plymouth Rock, when they landed there, they got down on their knees and they knelt and they thanked God for this new country. During the days of the Continental Congress, things were very difficult. There were problems that were multiplying, and Benjamin Franklin called upon the Continental Congress to get on their knees and pray for the blessings of God. I wonder what would happen in America this morning, in the 21st century, 2019, if all of Congress, if all of the senators, if all of the leaders of this nation were to fall on their knees humbly before Almighty God and pray and ask for repentance, pray and ask for revival, to pray and ask for renewal of God's blessings upon this great nation. During those dark days of Valley Forge, where the soldiers were starving, they were freezing to death, it was said, it was seen, we see a picture of where George Washington got down on his knees in the snow. He prayed and asked God to be with he and those men. You see, America was created on those Judeo-Christian principles. I want you to think with me this morning, as that scripture said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When I think about America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we sing, this land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Islands, from the Gulf Stream waters to the Redwood Forest, this land was made for you and me. I want you to think about America, how blessed this nation has been down through the years with all of the wonderful beauty of this nation all over the world, all over this nation. When you think about all of the mineral deposits, when you think about all of the wealth of America, whenever you think it is one of the most benevolent, it's one of the most philanthropic of nations in charitable giving. I want you to think about how God has blessed us. We've had a government that is a republic. It's a government that is governed by law. People in America can express themselves in democratic forms and lay themselves under the authority of the law here in America, we are able to express our opinions, good and as bad as they may be. We're able to express approval. We're able to express our dissent. Let me tell you, Americans have been so blessed of Almighty God, lest we should ever forget, young people, may you never forget what your forefathers and those that have gone before you have tried to prepare so that you might live in a free world, America, where you might have the freedom of religion, where you might have the freedom of speech, where you might have all of the freedoms that we possess. You see, when I think of the price of freedom in America and those that have sacrificed their lives and those who proudly wave the American flag and those who proudly sing God Bless America and the Star-Spangled Banner, when I think about those that are serving presently all over the world to try to keep us safe, when I think about all of those veterans' graves out there, I'm always reminded when I go to one of the national cemeteries to do a committal service and I look out Selm and I see all of those veterans' graves and I see how they are so pristine, those markers, and they're lined up. And I think about the price of freedom and that the price ran red for the nation that you and I live in. You see, young people, Memorial Day is more than just the beginning of summertime. It's more than just picnics with family and friends. It's more than playing a round of golf or going boating or laying out in the sun. While those things are great and we love them and we enjoy them, you and I must never forget the high price that was paid by the sacrifices of the fallen heroes of America. The best that you and I can do is to try to educate our children and try to educate future generations and our young people to respect and to honor and be courageous and be committed to this great nation that our veterans have so bravely fought for. If we ever get to the place where we're unwilling to fight for our freedom, young people, we will lose those freedoms. In fact, right now, we presently are concerned about many of the freedoms that we have and that we possess every day because some of those freedoms are eroding away. And all kinds of new ideologies are coming into the nation and coming up with all kinds of things that they think America should be, not what America was. I read the other day a poem that was written by a veteran. This was his feelings about why we celebrate Memorial Day. He said, "We walked among the crosses where our fallen soldiers lay, and we listened to the bugle as taps began to play. The chaplain led a prayer, and we stood with heads bowed low, and I thought of those fallen comrades I had known so long ago. They came from every city across this fertile land that we might live in freedom. They lie here neath the sand. I felt a little guilty. My sacrifice seemed so small. I lost a little time. But those soldiers who gave their lives lost it all." This past week, I was at the Veterans Center in Lawton. As I walked those long corridors, as I walked down those hallways to the various places there, I looked at some of those veterans in their wheelchairs, some with their prosthesis, some with patches over their eyes, some with limbs that were gone. And I thought to myself, God, may we never forget how precious our freedoms are that we live in America that we live in. How long has it been since you've said thank you to a veteran? How long has it been since you said thank you to a soldier? The other night, I was eating in Lawton. I walked up to pay for my food, and there was a soldier dressed in his uniform. As I spoke with him and talked with him and thanked him for serving this great nation, I thought how many of us take those things for granted. How many of us see those people in uniform? How many of us say thank you to them? How many of us reach into our pocket and pay for a meal for one of them who is sacrificially giving their life for the sake of freedom? I want to share a story with you this morning. As I think about Veterans Day, as I think about America, as I think about freedoms that I hope we will always have, and yet I wonder what will happen. As I listened to a talk show this week, as I listened to some ministers that were speaking about where America is headed, to those that are interested in it becoming a socialistic society, which eventually leads to a communistic society. As I listened to them and I heard what was being said, my heart was burdened for these young people. For I realized that the America that I grew up in was the America when we stood every morning. We pledged allegiance to the flag. We sang the Star-Spangled Banner. We read a scripture from the Bible, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer. And I thought how different that is from the day that these young people are growing up in. And I thought about the greatest generation and how they loved America, how they were committed to their families, they were committed to their friends, they were committed to faith in Almighty God, and they were not ashamed of any of those things. And they held them proudly, and they held them highly. And then I read this story, and I want to share it with you this morning. It happens every Friday evening, almost without fail. When the sun resembles a giant orange and is starting to dip into the blue ocean, old Ed comes strolling along the beach to his favorite pier. Clutched in his bony hand is a bucket of shrimp. Ed walks out to the end of the pier where it seems he's almost has the world to himself. The glow of the sun is golden bronze now. Everybody's gone except for the few joggers out there on the beach. Standing out on the end of the pier, Ed is alone with his thoughts and his bucket of shrimp. And before long, he's no longer alone, for up in the sky there are 1,000 white dots that come screeching and squawking and winging their way toward his lanky frame standing there on the end of the pier. And before long, dozens of seagulls have enveloped him, their wings fluttering and flapping wildly. Ed stands there at the end of the pier. He tosses shrimp to those hungry seagulls. And if you listen closely, you can probably hear old Ed say with a smile, "Thank you. Thank you." In a few short minutes, his bucket is empty, but Ed doesn't leave. He stands there. He's lost in his thought as though he has been transported to another time and a place. Invariably, one of those gulls lands on his high, sea-bleached, weather-beaten hat. Oh, it's just an old military hat he's been wearing around for years. You see, when he finally turns around and begins to walk back toward the beach, a few of those birds hop along that pier with him until he gets to the stairs, and then they too fly away. And old Ed, he just quietly makes his way down to the end of the beach and on home. If you were sitting there on that pier with your fishing line in the water, Ed might seem like a funny old duck. He might even seem like a guy that's a sandwich shy of a picnic. To the onlookers, he's just another old codger out there. He's lost in his own weird world, feeding the seagulls with a bucket full of shrimp. To the onlookers, rituals can look somewhat very strange and very empty. They can seem altogether unimportant, maybe even a lot of nonsense. Old folks often do strange things, at least in the eyes of the boomers and the busters. Most of them would probably just write off old Ed down there in Florida on that pier. That's too bad. They'd do well to know him better by the name of Eddie Rickenbacker. He was a famous hero back in World War II. And on one of those flying missions across the Pacific with William Cherry being the pilot of that F-17 plane, they lost fuel and the plane went down there in the Pacific. There were 7 members there. Miraculously, all of those men survived. They crawled out of their plane. They climbed into a life raft. And Captain Rickenbacker and his crew floated for days in those rough waters of the Pacific. And they fought the sun. And they fought the sharks. And they fought hunger. By the 8th day, their rations ran out. There was no food, there was no water, and they were 100 miles away from land, and no one knew where they were. They needed a miracle. And that afternoon, after William Cherry, he did a devotional, and they prayed. They prayed for a miracle. They tried to nap. Oh, Eddie leaned back and pulled his military cap over his nose. Time dragged. All he could hear was the slapping of the waves against the raft. But suddenly, Eddie felt something land on the top of his cap. It was a seagull. Oh, Ed later described how he sat perfectly still, planning his next move, and with a flash of his hand and a squawk from the gull, he managed to grab that gull and wring off its neck. He tore the feathers off, and he and his starving crew made a meal. It was a very slight meal for 8 men, and they used the intestines of that old seagull for bait. With it, they caught fish, which gave them food and more bait, and then the cycle continued. And with that simple survival technique, they were able to endure the rigors of the sea until they were found and rescued after 24 days. Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull, and he never stopped saying thank you. That's why, young people, every Friday night, Oweddy walked down to the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart full of gratitude. When I think about that story, and I think about America, and I think about how it was birthed, and the trials and the struggles of those first forefathers, and those Judean Christian principles on which this nation was built, and now, as some would say, we are living in a post-Christian era. A nation who wants to push God out of everything godly, who wants to push God out of the marketplace and out of the halls of justice and out of the halls of the schools. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I'm telling you, we've drifted and are drifting so far away from God and those life principles. When I think of freedom this morning, I go back to a place called Calvary, where Jesus came to pay the ultimate price for our liberty, to shed his blood for the sins of the world. You see, we've shoved his commandments out of our lives, and what we look at is relative truth. If it's relative to you and it's okay, then that's the world that we have chosen to grow these young people up in. Instead of looking at objective truth from the truthsayer, the great cardiognosis, the great heart knower, who said, "I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus said, you want to know truth? I'm truth. Jesus said, you want to know the way to eternal life? I'm the way. Folks, let me tell you, when I think of the price that he paid, we live in a world today where it's either relative, subjective truth, everybody does that which is right in his own eyes, or else we live by the moral compass, the moral standard of the Word of Almighty God that says this is objective truth. It's not relative to what you think. It's not subjective to whether you want to do it or not, but this is objective truth. Live life according to this, and life will be better. Live life according to this, and many of your problems will dissipate. Not all of them, but many of them, and life will be so much easier to live. Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom and to give us eternal life. He didn't have to do it, young people, but he did it willingly so that you and I could be reconciled to a holy God. You see, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. Oh, what a price he paid. Let me tell you, freedom is costly. It cost Christ everything. He paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. And so he wrapped his righteousness around our lives like a book cover off of a book, as if you and I had never sinned. Lest we forget Calvary. Today, lest we forget those who gave their lives in blood and in service for this great nation, lest we forget the Christ of the cross, the Christ of Calvary, the Christ of the crucifixion, the shed blood for the remission of sins, for the resurrection, for his ascension, and for his coming again someday. Let me tell you, you and I never know how much we miss something until it's gone. America's been a blessed nation. It's been a thriving nation. It has in its past been a godly nation. But I want you to know, man is trying to rewrite God's laws and it won't work. Listen to what the psalmist said once again. I want you to look at verse 10, 11, and 12 once again. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Tell you, all those senators and representatives and congressmen and all of that out there, they can get together and they can fuss and they can decide that each other's lying. But I want you to know, according to Scripture, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations, plural, to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. This morning, I want to say this in closing. I'm notorious for listening to the news. I try to listen to all of it. I try to get the perspective of each side. I'll be honest, I don't know who's telling the truth and who isn't. If you listen to the different news channels, they're diametrically opposed. But there is one person that is going to run in 2020 for president, and she made a statement the other day. I laughed, and I thought, oh, how ignorant of the Bible you are. She said, with climate change, the world's going to come to an end in 12 years. Well, I've got news for her. The Bible says it's a world without end. It's going to be a renovated world. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the one who created the climate to begin with is the one that will it will stand until he's ready for it to not stand. Amen? If more of those yahoos would read the Bible, it might be amazing what God would do in America once again. Young people, don't ever forget the price of freedom. Don't ever forget these precious people that have served in the military, those that have fought, those that have lost their legs and their eyes and their limbs, and those out there that died and paid the sacrifice. That's why we have Memorial Day. It all started back in the Civil War when those women went to those graves of both the North and the South, the Unions and the Confederates, and they lay flowers on those graves. And it started an effect. And that's why we have Memorial Day, to remember those fallen heroes of America. Young people, don't ever forget Calvary. Don't ever forget the blood that Jesus paid so that you and I might someday go to heaven. Lest we forget. Lest we forget. Would you stand as we pray?